And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And this is the second portion of our show this evening where I get to interview an author. And tonight's author is Marie Moeller. Now, Marie has written or self-published a great deal of books, and a lot of them are children's books, and she's also channeling a great deal. So I'm really excited to touch base with Marie and talk a little bit about, you know, what has been going on and how she's getting to where she is. And so welcome, Marie.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So let's start with, I guess, a little bit of your journey as to how you got to where you are and all the great things that you're doing.
Well, it's been quite a journey, and it really has been, it's coming back around to be an incredible full circle journey, to really remember the magic in the universe again. But it started really with my birth, and when I was born, I really remembered, I was born already knowing the magic of the universe in my heart. And I was able to carry that energy and that knowing for probably my first 7 or 8 years of my life. And so regardless of what was going on in my home and within my family and in the world at that time, I was really not tarnished by any of it, because I think I had this protective layer of love around me, which was just amazing. But obviously at that time, since I had it, I didn't have the contrast at the time to know that I could lose that and that perspective and that life lens. And it was around the time that I was 7 or 8 years old that a friend of mine one day just said, "Don't you know that there isn't any magic?" And it was the first time that that concept had ever really occurred to me. And from that point, I remember having conversations with my parents who, you know, were trying to be kind and thoughtful parents and encouraging me, but confirming their own belief that magic is a nice concept, but it's kind of in stories and fables, and that we don't really live it. And so I think that began my descent into things in daily life. You know, people's shadows and negativity started filtering into my life experience when that doubt started to enter into my heart and my vision. And it really took another 20 or 30 years or so of sort of holding some of that magic, still traces of it that I tucked away, but definitely I was attracting or creating experiences in my life that weren't the light that I had remembered. And so it wasn't until I was about 32 and the universe started knocking at the door of my heart again, and through asking me to have another child. And I had already given birth to two beautiful, amazing children, and my partner and I had gone through quite a process with that. And so we had felt that our family was quite complete at that time. But the universe kept knocking. And that was probably the beginning also of just the reawakening of my sentience and my claircognizance and just being able to receive messages, although I didn't know that that was what was happening at the time. And so this is sort of a long story that that just goes on and on. But after a while of trying to just sort of, I guess in a way, pretend that these messages weren't coming, the knocking just got louder. It's just the heart is very gentle and very patient and very persistent. And when there's a message from the universe, it will continue until you do listen. And that's what really happened in our life. So that I got to a point where I felt that I was suffering by not honoring this guidance. And so we listened, and we didn't know what it was going to mean for us, because this is not something that we were consciously choosing, but that was, this was definitely the path that was being outlined for us. And we trusted, and everything that we started to need to support this started to show up. And it was very difficult to conceive our two children, our two boys. But when we went to honor this universal request that was coming through my heart energies, we conceived on the very first try. And from that point, there were just many surprises along the way. And my sentience began to grow and grow and grow. I knew that I was pregnant before the doctors confirmed the pregnancy. And I also knew that there was something wrong with the baby. But what I didn't know was that I had conceived twins.
Oh.
And so from the surprise of finding out that it was twins, what I knew was that one of the babies was not okay. And that just took me into a huge unraveling of many things in my life, of all the beliefs that I had held or thought were true. And it just became a practice and process of trusting deeper and deeper and deeper that it was spirit that sort of called me to honor this task. And I remember having many moments of feeling like I trusted, I listened, and this is what is happening. And no doctors could detect what my intuition was already telling me. But that voice also got louder. And so I was hearing more and more and more. Not necessarily details, because sentience isn't always that way, but I could feel the deeper truth of what was coming. And the more I trusted the messages as they came, the deeper the breadth or the scope of the messages became for me. And it was probably when I was about 5 months pregnant that the doctors finally began to see birth defects and many anomalies in this child. One twin was, we hoped, was okay and perfect. That was what the ultrasounds were showing, but the other twin was not. And it was just an enormous journey, trusting every step, and also feeling as this was progressing that I was tuning in, that one twin was really a beacon of light, and the other twin was a very dark energy that I sentiently remembered but couldn't exactly pinpoint what was happening, because still I have no one in my life that I have an ability to have this conversation with of what I'm knowing versus what anybody else can see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the development of our inner sight, which I think is what was birthing within me as I was birthing these twins.
Mm.
And it was just a journey of deep trust that with every ultrasound, with every appointment, something else was found, and it was a huge mystery. And I remember my partner and I just trying to tie a knot and hang on somewhere and say, somewhere in our deep faith here, there's going to be some beautiful gift that comes out of this experience. But that gift didn't come for quite some time. And it was just a daily journey of trying to find trust and faith. And those are words that a lot of people speak.
Mm.
But sometimes it's not until we have these experiences that we're called to actually live it. And we were called to actually live what we thought we knew, but we really didn't. And when this child, what was happening was I was remembering more and more of this one particular twin who really overshadowed, and that's a good way to say it, overshadowed the pregnancy, because I was remembering a darker and darker and darker being from my past. And when it was time for birth, her special needs were really, they were quite significant and profound, but they were nothing compared to the energetic reality of what had rebirthed itself into my life.
Mm.
But it was also perfectly cosmically beautiful that the universe had allowed me to hear the knocking at my heart's door, and I could have said no, because we all have choice. But I chose to honor that. I chose, at a soul level, I suppose, I was listening to my own high self guiding me, knowing that this was necessary for a deep karmic cleansing. And so this child came, and when she was born, many babies who have all these anomalies are whisked away straight away to the NICU to assess them for what they're needing, and she needed a medical attention right away. But even at birth, we were hoping that we would finally have a diagnosis, but that was part of the journey, that there was just not going to be one.
Mm.
The doctors were not going to be able to tell us what was going on with this child. And so that just entered a whole new realm of trust, in that we had thought that all these, that something would finally be known. We were really hoping for something to make sense of what we were going through, but it just wasn't going to be the journey. And when I met her for the first time in the NICU, I just about fell to the ground, because just a wave of past life memory that, again, I had no language for what was happening to me, but my deep, deep, deep ancient past had just come very alive in my present life. And I just don't know anybody to this day that has really had the experience that I've had. I think it was quite a unique journey, but I just, everything that I had known sort of was crumbling around me, and this being in front of me, the two of us energetically perfectly knew who each other was. We had come to redo exactly where we left off from before, where both of us carried a complete lack of peace in our spirit because of what had transpired between us. And so this was a huge opportunity to face a very deep, dark shadow for me, with no outside support whatsoever. No medical community was, really had the consciousness for me to be having these conversations, and probably I was at great risk for being diagnosed some serious postpartum, diagnosis, and probably put on medication myself or being monitored in some way. But my heart was communicating to me the entire time the truth of all of it was happening. And this child went through many surgeries, and we had a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old at home and a newborn twin and a very, very medically challenged child that had all kinds of internal malformations. And it didn't come but later, but she had, brain malformations as well. But to the outside world, she had her 10 fingers and her 10 toes, and that's often what the community at large wants to see. So they kept trying to put her in a category after they surgically repaired some of the things into the category of normal. She's all patched up and ready to go. Mm. But what they didn't see was that she had a deep inner rage. And so she raged and screamed for 2 years, night and day, and never quit. All that rage was partly karma and, supported by some neurological conditions, but her energetic intelligence superseded any special needs that she had, which is so profound to me that we all have this energetic intelligence within us. And to see this energetic intelligence superseding any boundaries that you might see, that this was an infant child, how could an infant child have that kind of intelligence? How could a special needs person have that kind of intelligence? Or how could any of us have that kind of intelligence? But the fact is that we do, and we communicate energetically every day. And so for 3 years after she was born, I just struggled every single day to breathe, to make it through every moment. And my partner had to go to work, and our families had already, just our whole lifestyle and many things were already too much for them. So we had no family support, no community support, no social support, and no medical support. And we lived in that sort of cave, I guess, for about 3 years, going to many doctor's appointments, but every time we would be handed our slip, and they would just say, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. We'll just have to wait and see. But meanwhile, there was just a chronic amount of suffering. And what I think I realized, several things in that journey, but one was sometimes it takes a tremendous crisis to call out deeper truths, to then invite our deeper wisdom to come through us, that we already know whatever it is that we need to know to transcend any situation. And when I looked around at friends or family members or people I knew in the community that I so wanted to help me, I just wanted some help. But this task was so enormous that the only place that was going to help me at this point was the guidance of spirit, just pure spiritual guidance. And it was at this time that I did meet a therapist who was able to channel. And so I started to go have some sessions with her where I could talk about the things I was knowing that were beyond anybody else's comprehension. And through that connection, I was asking, how can I channel myself directly? And it was all designed that I would have the skills then to begin to communicate with spirit. And so that's what I started doing. I started channeling small connections at first. And, it's just like anything in the energetic world, but the deeper you trust, the more that comes. And so I've talked for quite a while, but the story comes all back around in that what helped me survive that next 3 years after she was born with this particular unique entity and karmic being that was in the that was the spirit within the physical body of this twin, was that the universe began calling out my strengths and my talents that I didn't know I had. So before she was born, I would have never known that I had the ability to channel spirit. And before she was born, I wasn't tuning in to my innate talents, the gifts that I had. And what the universe started calling me to do was to write. Mm-hmm. And they started calling me and calling me and calling me again. They started saying, color the magic. Color the magic that you remember. And so that's what started all the books that people can see that I've written. But it is through expressing my talents that I could feel just small bit of my light each time. And when I could feel my light, I wouldn't feel the darkness as much. And that was the lifeline that Spirit gave me to transcend and grow through that experience to start recovering the ancient wisdoms and the tools that we all need to rise and reascend back into our true light. And sometimes there's just these deeply cloaked beings. Sometimes they wear very dark cloaks, and they come in many forms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can come in the form of an addict or an abuser in your life, or poverty, or any kind of, you know, we have them. We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going through these experiences that we travel. Wherever we journeyed in, we have to journey back, because we have to see our past creations to realize what a creator we are. And then we have to pick up the tools that are waiting in the gifts of every one of those cloaks and every one of those experiences. We have to go collect them again. And that's when we recover our sight. And that's, to me, it's been my experience, that when we remember our talents and we start creating our way back to the magic that is the great natural organic bliss of this entire universe, it is what's meant for us. And then that spins into a whole other tale. This being is sort of from, I believe, from Atlantean culture, and I was a Lemurian, and we had a showdown before, and this was sort of a re-meeting. And so all of this journey helped me uncover my Lemurian roots. For all those people that are listening, I don't know if you're familiar with Lemuria and Atlantis.
Absolutely, yep.
But Lemuria, to me, was just, I sort of look at Lemuria, it has sort of a part one and a part two, because mm-hmm. Lemuria at its peak was just, you know, a perfect golden age where Source began and connected and, you know, lived through us. There was no line. We were one with Source, and we lived the bliss and the grace of that perfection at the peak of Lemuria's perfect grace.
Mm-hmm.
It was the true Garden of Eden, and I believe, and I write about that. I've channeled some things, but I think it's at a certain point we, as a collective consciousness, as a collective soul group, could no longer tell where Source was creating, and we were creating, and so this all connects back to my story, but we. We essentially, I believe, and from what I've channeled and what I can still intuitively remember, is we made a decision that we wanted to experience what it was like to create from our own creative power. And so to do that, we had to live lives not knowing Source power. And so that began the Great Descent, and I think that was the second half of Lemuria, as some people can remember it too. That there was this sort of descent. For a long time, I was confused. How could we have had all this consciousness in a fifth dimension or higher and descend into a third dimensional consciousness where there's so much shadow? But I believe it really was a soul choice to know Source by not knowing it. And so that is at the point in which I encountered this being, which sort of was in the essence of this twin. And we, some very devastating things happened between the two cultures, and thus began my shadow experiences too, because when you have the sight of Source and you knew it in your heart, but you trusted less and less because it was getting hazier and hazier to you, it was easier to make those decisions that weren't probably in the highest good of everyone, but became survival choices.
Right.
And I think that's what was made, and some Lemurians sort of finally made the decision to engage in defensive acts of war, which still doesn't make them right, and that creates a karma, and I've been living with that shadow, what the Atlanteans were thrusting upon our peaceful Lemurian people, and then the choices we made to survive that brought me into a tremendous amount of, I think, resistance and heart sadness of what human beings can do to each other when we lose connection with Source energy and Source flow. And so since that lifetime and the choices that were made, I've been looking for that shadow being that called out my choice to enter into shadow in response to a shadow, and I found her again in the NICU.
Hmm.
And it had to be transcended. and so loved beyond all the fear and the shadow that was going on in our home and the screaming and the rages on her part. I had to get to a place where I could love, I could feel just that pure love again, and that was in reaching for my talents and reaching to communicate directly with Source and to remember the magic again. And it wasn't a one day. It didn't instantly happen. It was just trusting 1 minute to get to the next minute, to get to another breath, to get to another breath, to get to another higher place. And finally, there was just a point in my life that it was just time. This being was not able at this point to energetically or physically reach out and take my hand and respond in love and kindness. There's still too much rage and anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just best for our whole family. It just became clear the universe started saying it's time to place this child. And that's, in the end, when it was time to listen. My heart guided us all the way through. And in 3 years' time of asking doctors to support us and help us and find a diagnosis or provide anything that would relieve some of the pain that was going on in our house, in her or within us. And we just got a lot of closed doors and had to go back home and do another 24-hour shift of what this very difficult situation was asking for. Instantly, when we listened and said, okay, it's time, the universe opened the door and opened a tremendous window, and within 3 weeks, she was placed in the home where she now resides with people who care for special needs children. And it's been a true miracle. And her spirit is much happier there. There's not as much stress, and all day can be catered to what she needs. And the rest of us, my sons, my other daughter, my partner and I, have begun to reemerge to share the story of finding the light in the greatest darkness, where there's no way and no way out and no hope. If you can find a small speck of belief that the universe will guide you out if you can get quiet enough to listen. And I suppose, whew, that's my story. Sorry, it's probably been like half an hour.
Almost, but that's a very unique and fascinating story to enlighten lives with, especially around this time when a lot of people are focused on the matrix of fear around finances and different areas. So people get caught up in, you know, their own fears and can't see perspective in the same way. So your journey has been one that can inspire and allow healing for others.
That's our hope, is that somehow this really unique journey will somehow maybe light a pathway for a few people who, I would think that this is a pretty unique journey that we have. I don't know that everybody is having the same journey that we have, mm-hmm. but I know that the pathway home is really similar for all of us.
Right.
And, yeah, I think that, you know, it's amazing to see around us anywhere in the financial markets or you turn on the news at any time and you can think that that's really what is.
Mm-hmm.
But really we are creating our reality from our inner sight. And boy, I would have told you after so many people told me there was no help for us, there was no way that anything was going to really change for us, I just would have thought we were never, ever going to see any kind of joy in our life again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that when we trusted and we didn't pay attention to all the times we were hearing no or the insurance denials or, you know, whatever the case may be, that it was just knowing in my heart that Source was leading us, and that's what created the sight. And I think it has to come from within, so you have to be open for the universe to step in and provide that guidance. So a lot of people are asking, but if they're not asking truly openly, then a lot of times we block ourselves to our own good. And essentially I was doing that for 1 to 2 years into this experience. I was so distraught with what I was facing. I was begging for help, but I'm still not quite sure at that time that I was really open to receive the help. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then when I finally something started to really realize that clearly what I was doing wasn't improving any of the quality of my life or my family's life. And And it was just, I think, just finally, just, I don't know when it was, but some pivotal moment when I finally said, it is time to listen deeply. It is time to not keep looking about what's in my really obvious outer world at the moment, and to start seeing that I'm only going to create my way out of this by listening and doing things that I'm sure friends and family and people that know us today but still don't know the whole story, it would have seemed very like these really going way outside the box. Mm. But sometimes that's what we have to do, and sometimes we have to do that to realize I don't want to be in that box anymore. And I think that's where we are, is that we've just transcended the box, and now really the sky's the limit for us and for anyone who's ready to start looking at the gifts that lie in whatever stress or circumstances we're having right now. Mm-hmm. There really are tremendous gifts, because whatever's in your particular life that's compressing on you right now is something that you're vibrationally resonating with, and so you're somehow a match to that. And so it has to be willing to open beyond that you would get a different sight. And then each time you're willing to trust that next degree of sight, and you open to the next degree comes. That's been my experience anyway.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so you wrote a bunch of children's books.
Yes. And they were really part of Coloring the Magic again.
Okay.
So I think, I don't remember, and that's been another thing that's been interesting, is the whole journey really hasn't been very linear. Like one book, I kept thinking one book would somehow link necessarily to the next messages in the next book. There's a theme of shining your light and living your talents and expressing yourself. But I wrote a book called Swallow the Sun, which is about and these books really, to me, they're for the sort of the timeless and ageless inner child in all of us. So they're kind of in the spirit of like the Giving Tree, or, you know, the children can read them, but there's also messages that resonate as we get older too. But I wrote a book, Swallow the Sun, that's about a girl who's vibrant and happy, very much reminds me of myself, and who lost her happy thoughts. Mm-hmm. And she had to go through a process of recovering those again through the father-son's light. And so I wrote that story. And then Leonard's Song is a story about a chameleon who lives the ancient chameleon tradition of camouflage. Mm-hmm. But every day when he's sitting with his chameleon tribe, wishes and longs that he could be doing something different. He has all these exotic adventures going on in his heart that he's not ever quite sure that he'll ever be able to do. But a situation happens where all of a sudden his camouflage mechanism doesn't work, and all of a sudden he's bright orange in this very green chameleon tribe, and he has to find his way to shine his talents and express himself. Hmm. And I wrote a story called Little Bird's Earth Nest, which is really about Mother Earth being our true nest, here to provide everything that we need to thrive, survive, and succeed. And I wrote a story called The Habit of Rabbits, that's about a bear who lives alone on the mountaintop, and he doesn't really have any friends. It's a story for me that reflects kind of a loneliness that I'd felt. And the mother bear counsels her little bear cub and talks to the bear about how the nature of bear energy and the energy of rabbits, and that it's the habit of rabbits to fear sometimes, mm-hmm. and that fear reproduces. But if he can hold his bear energy, he'll call out other friends just like himself. And so that's a really beautiful story. And I wrote two other books in that series so far. One's called The Knight in His Armored Heart. And there's a knight who longs to live a different way, same thing, but he's not listening to his heart, so he's got all this armor around him that keeps him away from all that he wants. And then I wrote a story called Hearts of Trees, that's a story about a beautiful tree that's radiant and robust and has all these brilliant colors and inspires many people around her. But, of course, in the winter, her leaves fall away to the ground, and she doesn't understand that time when we become so bare and it gets so cold and we feel so lonely and alone. Mm-hmm. And Mother Earth comes to her to inspire her and let her know that this is when she holds her heart the closest and is nurturing all of her dreams that are yet to come. And of course, in the spring, her leaves come once again, and she shines brightly for everyone to see. So it's a very inspirational series and really could be read by anybody at any age, I think. And that coloring each picture is part of a daily practice for me to reach for that those talents. And my talents to me are the light and the truth and the divine essence of Source. So that just happens to be my talent. That's what I always reach for. But it's interesting for other people to think about what's their truest talent, and are they living that? Are they expressing that? Are they enjoying that? Because that's where they'll find Source energy is within themselves. That always ignites other lights. When somebody's shining, everybody else wants to shine.
That's true. Very true. Yes. Okay. So you've written the children's books, and then you sent me two books, one called Cosmic Wealth and one called Cosmic Keys. And the Cosmic Keys are the channeled inspirations to open the heart of one. And
yes.
Cosmic Wealth is the guide to living the prosperity of a rich inner life.
Yes. I probably had written the whole Inner Child series and illustrated them, and I actually wrote the story of what I had been through, thinking that that was somehow would help other people. And I actually called that story Taking Flight. And I spent, it's amazing when these books come out of me, because when they start to emerge through my heart energies, in my heart, I'm more of a writer than a speaker, but my heart is very directly connected to my hands. So when I go to write a book, they tend to just flow out in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. And this Taking Flight story flowed out of the journey and the lessons and the gifts in the journey. But I kept editing it and editing it and editing it, and it just became evident that that wasn't the story that I was really going to talk so much about. Mm. And so I decided not to actually publish that one, and I waited some time, and I just asked Spirit to guide me when there was anything else to say. And a few months later, this Cosmic Wealth book started to emerge. And I had never thought about taking some of my channeled inspirations and weaving them into a story, but that's really what started to happen with Cosmic Wealth. It was a way of sharing some of the insights that had guided me through my journey, through sort of, I don't know, a new age, new thought, self-help sort of channeled resource. I guess it's a little mixture of both. And it was really about, the Cosmic Wealth book was really about some of the tools that helped me remember the ways to live the prosperity of a rich inner life, and what we live inside ends up being created in our outer world as well. So that book speaks to a number of those concepts. And then a little while later, more channelings continued to come. And so I just decided to put a whole book together and just publish them, because they seemed all centrally at that time focused on the ascension process that's occurring within all of us at this time. And I thought, it's interesting how my channelings come. They come very, usually speaking to me, but a lot of the messages, I think, are universal. So I think Cosmic Keys is a book about my own journey, but my journey is a reflection of the universal journey. So I'm really hoping that people will find inspiration in those channelings. That most of the time, I channel El Moria. I don't know if you're familiar with that spirit guide, but he's just a very loving, wonderful, wise being. And so a lot of the channelings are El Moria. And then I also connect with another guide. I don't know if you've heard her name, Celestia. That's how I say her name anyway. And she is a guide in the community of Talos, I guess. And I don't know, Lori, how familiar you are with that.
Not a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, so, well, there's a, energetically I feel them more than I can necessarily say exactly what they are, but they're sort of a group of Lemurians that escaped Lemuria just before the continent collapsed, and they went underground, supposedly deep underground under Mount Shasta, and there have been some people who really specifically channel guides from Talos or that community. I haven't necessarily done that, but I read the series by, I don't know if you've heard her name, Aurelia Louise Jones. She did a whole book series on Talos.
Okay.
and I really connected with one of the, they're essentially a group of people in fifth dimension, so they're still in physical form. They're just in some kind of community that is, I think, beyond our sight still at this point. But I connect with this person, Celestia, and so her, she's also in Cosmic Keys a few times.
Right.
Just very loving and embracing and welcoming, and I enjoy those channelings. So hopefully, and I'm posting some of my channelings too. I have a website, and then I also post some of my channelings at lightworkers.org, so you can see some of those channelings for free if anybody's interested.
Great. What's the website that's yours?
Mine is www.shineyourlightgifts.com.
Cool. Okay. And why don't we go over some of the principles or some of the things that you brought up in your books. We can talk about initially the cosmic wealth, but I do want to get into the heart one because that's pretty much the work that I do.
Yeah.
But okay, sure. So there are four core universal principles. One, that we are already divine creators.
Yes.
Two, that the thoughts, feelings, beliefs, actions, and choices are energetic tools that we sculpt and create our life experiences. Three,
yes.
we are vibrational beings living vibrant, experiential, and expansive universe. And four, we have the power of absolute free will. Talk a little about these.
Well, those are some really key tools, I think. For a lot of people, that would be the next big step to start to be able to see. I think what helped me, obviously, to see is my past coming into my present. And so when all times merged, I could really see that a past creation that I could sentiently feel and know had come back into my present, even though my present life wasn't expressing that at the time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see our past thoughts or our past deeds totally cycle back, and if we ever had the opportunity in our own life to consciously witness one cycle come to completion, maybe it's just that somebody's at work and they bark at their coworker because they were really grumbly and they, you know, stumbled off to work and not quite grounded and centered in with themselves. And then before they know it, everywhere they go, somebody at the grocery store yells at them later that day when they're just picking up some cheese and milk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get home and their kids for some reason are yelling at them. And they don't realize that, boy, I sent that cycle in motion. And that really what we do and we think and how we act and our feelings are actually perfectly designed by the Creator, which has taken me a long time to truly respect the Creator's design. Had many conversations with God about that. Just that we are wired to create everything that we experience, because that was the goal of third dimension. Because we really wanted to know our own creative power. And so those four principles are really important. I think probably a lot of people who would be listening to the show today might already be aware of those principles, but really more deeply allowing the truth of that to sort of become an awareness that is alive in our experiences, that we are consciously living and choosing then to say, well, if my thoughts and my feelings and my deeds are creating my life experience, then wouldn't I want to choose what those are instead of falling and stumbling into what those are out of habit or ritual or patterns? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think it's amazing. Without asking our inner sight to activate and come alive, we might just see those as coincidences or bad luck or, you know, just something that was unfortunate. But in the end, somewhere within us is vibrating an energetic call for those experiences. And so the more we can begin to, at least, even if we're skeptical that this is true, if we could at least begin to say, I am willing to be shown if this is true. If this is truth for me and this can benefit my life, and if I can start to live more of my highest good by honoring some of these cosmic principles, then show me. show me how this is working in my life and help me to pay attention and see if I have created something, when it comes back around, help me to notice. Ooh, you know what? 3 days ago, I just said that exact thing to somebody. Oh, it just showed up. You know, because a lot of times we'll say, well, I'll test it. But then if we're not really committed to seeing its truth in our life, we're not looking for it. So we won't pay attention when the universe says, no, 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 we just showed you. So I think it's really just this amazing inner attunement process where we start to say, I really am willing to see. I really, either I can believe these principles or I really don't believe the principles, but either way, I'm willing to give it a go and see what happens. And then what would have to happen is we'd all have to be willing to really look and attune and listen with inner ears and start to see with inner eyes what that is actually creating in our experience. And maybe that's why karma's tricky, because you might have done it 2,000 years ago and you forgot. But when it shows back up in your experience and you start saying, why is this happening? When we start to ask those why questions of spirit, spirit comes in and says, okay, if you're asking why, then you must be opening and maybe you're ready. And they'll start to show you. But you have to be open to be willing to be shown. And I think that's part of the process, and that's where that free will, the fourth principle, comes in, is that we do have the ability through this entire process to be conscious creators or unconscious creators. It is totally our choice. Each one of us gets to choose how much right now we want to see. And what I've found uniquely challenging is the more that I ask to see and the more of my light I'm asking to know about, the more the universe, it also calls out the deeply hidden shadows too, because that shadow part of ourselves is what needs the light the most. Any shadow that exists within us is a free will choice that we made probably in some kind of unconsciousness or veiled consciousness time, this lifetime or some other, and it's just been hidden from our sight. And often when our shadows come up, whether it's a judgment habit or a self-defeating habit or self-sabotage habit or, you know, lack consciousness habit, whatever it might be, every time it comes up, it makes us so uncomfortable. And oftentimes we wanted to just, like, go back in your little cave and maybe I won't have to know about you. And I think there's a lot of very, very, very good people in the world today that are rising, but me included, that haven't recognized the true value in our own shadows. And what I channeled something, I don't know, within the last week or two where I can't remember which guide it was, but they were talking about how our shadows are a gift because they really are showing us what needs light the most. And it would be like if from the waist up we were ascending and then our shadow was just our legs and our feet, we would be willing to just leave that behind, but you really can't do that. If the whole part of you is going to go and make this journey back to remembering the true light and the bliss of the golden ages and go back into that level of consciousness that all of our hearts want, I mean, no matter who it is living on the earth, we all want to experience that again. But some of us, in order to know source, just created different pathways to not know source. And some of us went in deeper than others. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. Some of us went farther away from the light than others. And so maybe somebody else's journey seems easier than another person's journey. In the end, I guess it's perfectly scripted for whoever we are, but these were all soul choices. So whatever a soul chose to step away from the light to say, I want this experience. I really not want to know what I can create, and I'm going to have to do it without a conscious connection to source power. So what's going to birth itself but greed and fear and lack and all of these things? And then I'm going to have to survive the things that I'm creating. But in this third dimensional world where there's a lot of shadow and darkness and a veiled consciousness, I'm not going to remember the light is the way out. So some of us just kept digging tunnels deeper into our own karma. Does that make sense?
No, I think it's really fascinating. And I know that I don't remember reading a lot about it in your books, but listening to you talk, I mean, the shadow work is incredibly important for our times because we're living
so
in
important.
Yeah, we're living in times where we're in shame, we're in blame, we're, you know, we're in judgment, and all of these have to come up for us to take responsibility instead of trying to give them out to somebody else.
Yes.
And say they're the reason, and you know, those people that come up to us to mirror that, you know, they are the gifts. They are the gifts that you're talking about. They are, you know, your daughter being born, you know, with rage. I mean, that these are the gifts that we need to understand to help us evolve.
Yes. Because in those beings that are wearing that cloak for us on that particular day, to mirror that shadow to us, if they weren't a vibrational match to our own energy fields for whatever reason, a past creation of some sort, they wouldn't hit our radar screen. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They wouldn't bother us so much. So it's the people in our lives that really still cause us some kind of pain or some kind of, you know, I think it's Carolyn Mace that talks about animation. When you animate about something, good or bad, it just tells you something. So when we're animating about somebody, it's that coworker or that somebody that's just really just so annoying to us. There's something in that person that either is a reflection of our own energy or it could just be some lesson that we still have to learn in some other way. But it's been amazing. It has been so hard without the universal support that is flooding the earth today that I am so grateful for. But that light that I think that is shining in the earth, and we know that it's coming in increasing amounts, it's going to shine a light on the light and the shadow. So that those parts of us that we've been really trying to bury deep within ourselves are coming out for attention, not because it's time for punishment, but because it really is time to clear them out and do a huge inner decluttering process. And I was saying to my partner the other day, because sometimes we have the perception that it's like we want to surgically just remove that shadow, you know, if we could just cut out that part of ourselves that we don't like. But I'm actually coming to believe that for me and what I've experienced, I don't think it's cutting it out. I think it's actually loving it back to its original light. I think everything that's a shadow within us is actually just an inverted side of light. And so anybody in our life that we might say, oh my gosh, that is just a shadow figure for me, is really challenging us to say within that being is a divine essence. And I have known that intellectually. And I could have said it probably for a good part of my life because I think I have a very loving heart. But in my private moments with myself, I get hurt by those shadow people.
Sure.
And I've been wounded by the things that people in their shadow can do. And what has happened is in my own energy field, I'm carrying that Lemurian wound, or I'm carrying that wound of another time or this lifetime where I was somehow victimized, right? I mean, to me, I feel like I lost Lemuria. Lemuria became lost to me, and to me and a great many souls, some of us can really tune into that feeling of what was lost that day. And I think I've carried that vibration. So if you can follow the energy thread, when you carry that vibration of loss and having been victimized by something that you really weren't thinking you were actually choosing, but the minute you chose fear instead of love, you chose it. And then what happens is people in my life, either somebody just on the road, like an anonymous stranger, or somebody in my family or a friend, can do something that will, I could say, really hurt me, but in the end, I'm a vibrational match to that. And so their shadow is just mirroring my own shadow. But you have to get really, I don't know what the word is, comfortable with willing to see what shadow. It's just a deep willingness to become transparent with yourself. So you let those shadows start to rise up there. And if you're with some person or something happens on the news or other things come up, it really is a steadfast commitment to yourself to say, ooh, this makes me so uncomfortable. I can feel it coming up. I can feel that I'm getting really uncomfortable about what that person is saying. And in letting it rise, you can start to see it. And then you could say, what about that shadow? Or what about that judgment in me? Or what about whatever that part of me that's getting so uncomfortable? What does it need? Like, does it need to be loved? You know, and if we can't have a conscious memory of a past life or a past experience this life, sometimes we just have to trust that. In the end, for me, sometimes the trust has just been, I just trust Source. I mean, I have to see the perfection of this karmic being come back in my life and just how it all lined up in all the perfect ways that were all really horrible. To see it coming back up with absolute precision, Source is just, it's just amazing perfection how even like the cycles of the seasons. I mean, there's just so much perfection everywhere we look if we begin to start to look for the perfection. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that shadow can make us so uncomfortable. But what I think has been profound for me in the last week, and information just keeps coming to me, so I feel like 2 weeks ago I had a different consciousness because, you know, and the energies are changing so fast, so new information's coming all the time to all of us. And I think really paying attention to say, wow, the shadow's the part of myself that needs love the most because it wants to rise as a whole together. And if we keep ignoring it, it's going to always be that part of us that's lagging behind. And now's really that time to turn and take it and hold it like you would a newborn baby and say, I just really love you. Mm-hmm. I just really love you, and I'm sorry that there was some part of me at some time when I was suffering and didn't know that I was a creator and didn't know that I could create my way out if I just held the light a little longer. I'm sorry that I decided that this part of myself would no longer get any nourishment or source nourishment. And that's what these aching part of ourselves, I think, are really saying. I just need some love. I just need you to hold me and hug me and believe in me again. And I think that's there's this restoration process that's going on. That's the rising. And if we can do that within ourselves, then it's easier to look at somebody else on the news that's saying something unkind or not compassionate or worse. And we can say, ah, oh, I wonder, I bet, you know, they don't know what they're speaking is their own pain on the news.
Right.
That's their pain. And there are people who are still resonating with that same level of pain. So that might be that person's supporters. They might be totally in resonance with that person. And then we're all creating. And so people who are in resonance with a person who's speaking unkindly or doing very, you know, disconnected things that you wouldn't do if you understood how connected we all really are,
mm-hmm.
then you see how different pockets of people are actually co-creating more shadowy things. And then as they create more shadowy things, that becomes their experience. So everything that they do reinforces that they're shadow. And then there are those of us that are rediscovering the light, and there's still the contrast in that shadow. But I think it's, for me, I'm starting to see, wow, we really all have the same gifts. We have the same innate talents within ourselves. We're all wired with the same energetic intelligence, no matter who we are, how old we are, and what our current condition is. We all have the same source stream in every living cell of our body. And so I know I'm getting talking, and you might have some more questions about cosmic keys, but this is, I think, the definitive moment of our time, is to begin to see the flip of shadow is the intrinsic worth. So if we could see the intrinsic worth of our own personal shadows and love them back into the light that they truly are, if we could convert our own shadows into our own light again, we're going to feel that wholeness. And if we can, as we start to be willing to heal our own shadows, because we all have them,
mm-hmm.
then we can turn to somebody else's shadow and say, it may not be that I want to, you know, go have a weekend retreat with these people, but I know that within them, this same intrinsic worth exists. And for this whole time from Lemuria on, when Lemuria, you know, collapsed overnight, I really have felt that loss and been blaming and angry at the people I thought were responsible for that co-creation, right?
Mm.
But I'm a participant in that. And here I'm on the earth participating again. And what I see the universe saying is, you are co-creating. And so if we can all be willing to see in ourselves traces of things that we've held, maybe not just this lifetime, but that's what's in my Cosmic Wealth book. That's the concept of these default truths, where we have transparent truths, where some of us can tell you what our favorite things are and certain beliefs that we very naturally will admit to anybody because they're beliefs that everybody usually praises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there are these hidden beliefs that sometimes are hidden from ourselves, but or we might try and hide them from our friends. They're the parts of ourselves that think deeply, that when we're in our private moments, that nobody knows that we're thinking. Those are the energy patterns that often come up as default truths that are just, they've been vibrating indefinitely because we didn't know that they were there. And do you know the biggest truth of my journey, if I can say any, a special message to anybody out there that's struggling with trying to release a shadow or not knowing how. I tell you, if I had not listened to my heart guiding me, I would not have conceived the twins. And I wouldn't have conceived this particular twin who I think, for me uniquely, was the only being who could show me the special rage and anger and blame that I had towards her and the whole community of people of what they did to my people.
Right.
And if she hadn't shown up, I would never have known that it was just going in my vibrational system like a little beep, beep, just very quietly beeping, but always keeping me away from the love and the community and the light that I so desired, but I was always like, I was always missing it, you know? I was always just shy of finding those really rich, good people in my life because I was not a vibrational match to that holistic light. I had a slice of myself that was still stuck in a life millions of years ago.
Right.
And maybe that's not the case for everybody else, but likely many of us, if we listen and we think and we say, gosh, I really do think there's this part of myself that I've been afraid to see, or, you know, it makes me so uncomfortable. If we could just start to turn toward it and say, thank you, what are the gifts? What are the gifts that you're holding for me? Because if I know I can hold you and send you love, I know I'll start to see so many other people around me will look brighter, and I'll be looking brighter. And before we know it, we're going to be shining brighter. And when we shine brighter, we all want to live our talents and share instead of compete and want more and feel like we don't have enough. And when we spin the cycle in a different direction, which the Earth is already helping us with that. She's already in her ascension process, and that all of us are invited to come along. But again, we're conscious creators, so we get to choose whether we are going to rise and go into that new experience or return to the old experience, whichever way you want to see it, or whether we're just not ready and whether we just have that within ourselves. And it might show itself as skepticism or, you know, other ways which we block ourselves from our good. If truth is truth, it will always feel good to us. I've had many truths come up where I didn't want to do the truth or I didn't want to listen to the guidance, but if it was truth, and I still do that. If it's truth, I listen to what the guidance is. Sometimes it's so hard. But if the truth feels peaceful, even if it doesn't feel good, I know it's right. And I listen to that. And I think so many people are out there looking for, like, okay, I'm interested in rising. I read all these books and I go to all these workshops. It really starts in our inner center, in our heart center, and really listening to what it's trying to say. And the more we listen and the more we tune in, the more the universe says, oh, she wants to know more. Or, oh, he's ready. He's ready to see. And then your own vibration will call in the people in your life that will either show you a shadow that needs to heal, which feels, you know, some people say, well, I was ready to heal and get better, and I feel worse. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, as I start the healing process, I feel worse. Sometimes that's how we heal. Or it could bring more good because maybe you've already cleaned out some of that stuff. And if we can have compassion that every one of us, every single person on the earth at this time, has been given an invitation. We all have been given the invitation, and it's how we choose to view the world, either through this inner sight that knows God's perfection. I mean, really, I don't care what you call source energy, whatever religion or spirituality practices you practice, whatever you call that inherent goodness in all of us, we've all received the invitation. And then those of us who aren't ready to attend the new dimension, we just have to give them a lot of love and grace and respect, because it takes a lot of courage to say, I'm not finished. I'm not finished knowing my own creative potential without source energy.
Right.
It takes a lot of courage in a certain way to say, nope, I'm not ready for source's help. Thank you very much. And it's a different lens, but I'm starting to be willing. I feel like that's what's happening within me, is to open up to see that there is that incredible divinity in all of us. And God is incredibly patient. And he's patient, or he or she, Mother, Father, God, is so patient because God already knows the perfection. So in any shadow, no matter how deep somebody goes in, they will eventually hit rock bottom and they will find their light again. And some of us has to go really deep, and some of us it's just less it's a more shallow journey, which makes it seem easier, but it's all a collective and individual and conscious choice. And shadow gives these shadows, these people wearing these dark cloaks, in the end, provide a perfect reflection for us to find that compassion and that divinity in all things. And I wouldn't be having this conversation with you if a perfect being hadn't shown up in my life in the NICU that day. And I'm eternally grateful for her arrival and the courage with which she faces her challenges every day. Mm-hmm. And so if I can find that compassion in this particular being in my life, I really can believe that it can happen for anyone, no matter what your issue is, no matter who you're facing, no matter what life challenge you think you've got. When you're willing to turn and love that gift in whatever way that it's bringing information to you about you, because that's what the whole thing is about. It's just about you. The more you start to say, oh my gosh, I really feel my light. And I talk about the talents in a lot of my books because that's where our truest light shines. So if we're dealing with some, you know, big life challenge in one direction, but we can tune into some lovely talent, maybe we love to make candles, you know? Maybe, I don't know, we like to give readings for some people with tarot cards. I don't know what, you know, there's so many talents out there, but when we can tune into that stream and we can remember it, then it's easier to remember it when you're facing a shadow or your own challenge. And you just call up that feeling and you can start to say, I'm willing to remember the bliss. I'm willing to remember the grace. I'm willing to remember the perfection and all that is. And that's what my books are really about, is calling people to remember that perfect divine grace where we all are willing, those that are ready to join source energy flow and say, okay, I'm ready to be back in God's embrace again and know my creative power at the same time. I don't have to be separate from source anymore to create. I can create with source. And that's the choice of those four principles, is to start to realize that we're vibrational beings living in a vibrational universe. And we just have to open our hearts and become willing. Becoming willing is the first step.
Right. Well, okay. So we are actually out of time, and that was a really good show. I think your insight and I think the journey you've been on again, will allow a lot of people to maybe understand a little bit more about why they're experiencing what they're experiencing. And of course, everybody has their story, or else we wouldn't be here. And each story is unique to them. So everybody thinks that their story is, you know, their challenge. And obviously, you know, there are other people that you can see the perception is very different from the reality you live, but you still, when you're in your story, are in your story, and that those are the things that we need to heal. So thank you for, you know, being open to telling your journey and expressing your life in a way that can help a lot of people. So thank you.
Thank you, Lori. It's been a true delight to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. So we will be back next week. Hold on.